Top Radio.
The great Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw had a rather jaundiced view of our country. Shaw said that while our Constitution was set up to prevent political dictatorship, in doing so, we established a society where every ward boss is a dictator, every financier a dictator, every private employer a dictator, all with the livelihood of the workers at their mercy. Well, if Mr. Loomis wants to emulate Mussolini in how he treats his employees at the office, that's one thing. But Jones Eater's actions at work have always been commendable. Mr. Loomis also declared himself emperor over Miss Eater in her home. There he found her smoking, something which is not against the law, which is in fact none of his business, but he fired her anyway. Shouldn't we be able to have private lives that aren't governed by the people we work for? My God, I cannot believe I just asked that question in an American courtroom. My head may explode. Your Honor, the right to privacy, as you well know, is guaranteed under our Constitution. But now, thanks to our current Supreme Court, that right is flickering like a candle in the wind, and the breeze is picking up. But Justice Scalia and his ilk aren't judging this case. You are. And at what point will you say, that provided we do not violate the law, other people cannot dictate what we do in the privacy of our own homes? Your Honor, when you consider this case in the privacy of your chambers, where no police or lawyers or Loomis may enter, please think about the dying gasps of our precious right to privacy and what our lives might be like if it actually passes away.
One of my favorite old TV shows is The Big Valley. Barbara Stanwyck and her boys fighting for themselves in the Old West. Was watching a rerun the other day, and I was struck by their situation was appallingly similar to what we're facing now. Mrs. Barclay had left town, and when she came back, she saw a neighbor's ranch on fire. So she drove up to it in her little buggy there, found the neighborhood rancher hanging from a tree and his wife unconscious on the ground. I assume she'd been raped, and their home had been burned. So Victoria asked the lady what happened, and she said, well, the old tool gang had come into town terrorizing everybody, that this old tool gang, for reasons they never did explain, were out to terrorize people, and they just went from ranch to ranch burning and raping and murdering, and so something had to be done. So while Victoria was out of town, the town elders got together and they hired a gang of men, which is similar to High Plains Drifter? When the bad guys take over, they order a hired gun to come in and restore order. Well, as you might have guessed, and this is where the BFEE comes in, the guys that are supposed to restore order are worse than the old tools. They take away everybody's rights, and nobody's got a right to anything. They take over ranches they think they can run a base from. They walk into town, they see a pretty girl, they take advantage of her. They see something in town they want, they just steal it. So Victoria Barclay's got to come to grips with the new reality versus the old reality, and is the old tool gang worse than the people they hired to stop the old tool gang, which is a little bit like Bush dismantling the Constitution to save us from Osama. Let's hear a little of that.
You wanted to talk to me, Victoria.
Yes, David, I do. I know it's late, but I have something to say to you, something important. As you know, I've never believed in vigilante justice.
We don't believe in her either. But we gotta have protection.
I know, and I'm just as afraid of O'Toole as the rest of you. But I'm more afraid of what is happening to us.
What are you driving at, Victoria?
These past weeks, we've seen our neighbors bullied, our laws defied. We've even seen a man murdered.
Now, hold on, Victoria. Murder's a pretty hard word.
Is it? What else would you call it?
Well, after all, he was guilty.
Perhaps. But it wasn't up to us to decide. And a few weeks ago, we wouldn't have let it happen. No matter who he was or what he did, we would not have let it happen. Don't you see? We've been so anxious to save ourselves that we've given up everything that we've ever believed in. Now, I can't answer for the rest of you. But as far as I'm concerned, I can't go on. I'd rather face the enemy out there in those hills than the one here inside of us. This is my share of the money. I want you and your men off my ranch by tomorrow morning.
Victoria, don't be a fool. You've seen the signals. O'Toole's men are everywhere. When they see my men leaving, you won't have a chance.
Perhaps not. But I prefer that way of dying.
What about your daughter? You want her to die, too?
I don't think we're going to die, Major Winka. But if I'm wrong, I prefer Mother's way.
Then you're both fools.
Just a minute, Winka. We're all with you, Victoria. You got enough money in there to pay them off?
You bet I have.
The minute we pull out, O'Toole's man up on that ridge is going to start flashing that mirror.
We'll take our chances.
I don't think you have a chance. But I'll try to get you some more time. As soon as there's light, I'll try to knock out that mirror.
I thought you didn't believe in lost causes.
I don't. But I believe in earning my pay. All right, mister. Drop the mirror.
And as you might have guessed, when the hero of the story tracked down the man with the mirror, it turns out it was one of his own men. It was an inside job the whole time. Turns out they killed the O'Toole gang a couple of weeks before, but they were doing so well with their usurpation of the laws of the county that they decided to keep the charade going. But unlike real life, the guy in charge of the evil gang didn't know the evil gang was doing all this behind his back. But we know Bush is right in the middle of this cabal that's ruining our country right now.
Roger Daynar was an idealistic young man who answered his people's call to service. He joined the military to help fight for the Angosian way of life. What he didn't realize was that by doing so, he would have to give up that way of life forever. He's not the same man who left home to go to war. He's been through intense psychological manipulation and biochemical modifications.
At Troy's request, I examined him. His cell structure has been significantly altered.
Was he a prisoner of war? Who did this to him?
His own government. He's been programmed to be the perfect soldier. He can be absolutely normal, but when a danger is perceived, the programming clicks in and takes over. He's conditioned to survive at any cost.
Why was he assigned to the Luna 5 facility?
He committed no crime. He says he was ordered there with others like him. When the first soldiers returned to Angosia, they had trouble. The rules changed too quickly. A lost temper could result in murder.
Counselor, did no one attempt to adjust their programming?
They were just exiled to Luna 5.
Luna 5. An orbiting gulag.
What do you want?
Am I disturbing you?
Yes.
Then I will leave.
No, wait, wait. I'd rather talk to someone.
Why do you have yellow eyes? I am an android. I believe you and I have something in common.
We do?
Yes. We have both been programmed.
Ah, yes. Yes, you've been talking to Counselor Troy. It is not at all the same, android.
I do not mean to belittle your condition. I understand your dilemma. But I am curious. My program can be altered. Yours cannot.
The man I was is still inside me, but this conditioning has been imposed. How do you separate the program from the man?
I cannot say, but I believe it is possible.
Yeah, doctors. The Angosian doctors did this to me. If it could be undone, wouldn't they undo it?
I cannot answer that.
Captain, what this man has been telling you is full of half-truths. He's a prisoner. What do you expect him to say about us?
Well, perhaps you would clarify it for me.
The soldiers were resettled on Luna 5. It was to be their colony.
Was it a resettlement of their choosing?
It was for their own protection as well as that of others. Most of them were quite happy there. We went to great lengths to give them a fine quality of life.
Prime Minister, even the most comfortable prison is still a prison.
Unfortunately, a few agitators like Daynar forced us to add security.
My medical team suggests that there may be alternative treatment.
Captain, I assure you that every alternative has been explored. And this discussion is now treading upon matters of internal security. This is not your concern.
Matter of internal security. The age-old cry of the oppressor.
Can you imagine a society that would take idealistic young men off the street and then train them to become vicious killers and then throw them into combat, and when either the battle or the war or their tour of duty was over, throw them back into society without any kind of deprogramming, any kind of re-education that could wean them off their violent ways? Hard to imagine a society that would be that callous to those who offered to give all for the good of that society. And notice how right Picard was, and this was 12 or 15 years before he ever heard the name W.
Matter of internal security. The age-old cry of the oppressor.
Park Cop Radio's Master of the Knobs, Tommy Mack, was on TV a couple of weeks ago. He was on a show called Distraction. Now, Distraction, I don't know if you've ever seen it. I had never seen it before. But it's mostly a quiz show, but while you're trying to think of the answer, they distract you. Sometimes they hit you in the legs with metal pipes. Sometimes they fire bullets into your brain. Tommy got a little bit luckier. Here's a couple of quick segments. Tommy Mack on Distraction.
Welcome back to Distraction. You may be wondering why our contestants are wearing Velcro suits. So was I. Turns out it's part of our next distraction. As you can see, there is a square marked off in the middle of the studio. All our contestants have to do is remain in that box while I ask them some questions. Sounds too easy, right? Of course it is. That's why I'd like to introduce you to these derby girls. Are going to skate round and slap you with flags while you try and answer questions. The person with the least flags on them at the end of the game gets 5 bonus points and will almost certainly go through to the next round. Right, well, let's get you in the box first and then get the derby dolls to beat you up. Let's get you over here. Let's get Tommy in. Good God.
Usually this is someone's fantasy, but I'm not feeling it right now.
All right, let's take out this candy.
What saucy minx of the Conservative Party resigned as English Prime Minister in 1990?
Margaret Thatcher.
Correct. What actress turned 90210's Brenda Walsh from sweet to bitchy before departing in 1994?
Pass.
Shannon Doherty. What leggy singer played Aunt Entity in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome?
Theater.
Correct. Name the top former 2020 reporter who's now
Diane
really late. No, Barbara Walters. Hilary Swank played a tough boxer in what film directed by Clint Eastwood?
Million Dollar Baby.
Correct. Stockard Channing played Rizzo in what 1978 film?
Grease.
Correct. We're out of time, Tommy. Do you know what? You've all done very badly. Ladies, thank you very much. I will see you in my dressing room later on. Let's have a look at the scores. Okay. Well, Nicole, you got 5. Tommy, you got 4. Adolfo. That means you need to have the least flags on you.
I know, it's not looking good, not looking good.
It's not looking great. I can tell you, Adolfo, that you've got 58 flags on you. Yeah! Okay. Having said that, Tommy has got 65 flags on him. To be fair, he is a bigger target.
Yeah, that's true.
That means Tommy and Nicole are going through to the next round. When we return, our two remaining contestants will be jolted into life as they compete for some amazing prizes. Welcome back to Distraction. Let's bring out our contestants. Tommy and Nicole, this round is called Blinking Electrocution.
Tommy told me a little bit about this behind-the-scenes business. He was called to do this episode of Distraction maybe back in September. And he said, dude, for this particular show, you're going to need to go get a physical taken. We need to be sure that you're in top physical shape before you come on the show. And Tommy said, WTF? Why do I need to be in super good physical shape to come on your show? And I said, well, you'll understand when they get here. He said when they got there, they explained this to him that, well, we're going to hook you up with electrodes. Basically what they did, I forget how many volts it was, but but it's more than a tingle, as you can tell. Tommy's a pretty good actor, but I don't think he could act. Oh, the pain, it's so much. I don't think he could do that good a job of acting, as you're about to hear. He gets a jolt. So what they did, they put one of the conduits, whatever it's called, on his right hip, about where your belt is, and they put the other one on his left hip. So basically, his body completed the circuit. Who knows how electricity works? I just know it's magic. But apparently, his body completed the circuit that made everything work. And they did the same thing for the girl sitting next to him. So you got these two people sitting there, and he's asking them questions. And if they ever blink, and of course, how do you not blink? Besides that, they've got the finger on the pause button. So say neither of them blink for a minute. Well, you just cut that minute out. And then the minute they blink, they get zapped. But that's why Tommy had to take the physical, because they were going to put his life in danger. It wouldn't look too good on the Distraction resume. Killed Tommy Mac because he didn't have the physical, and we basically tasered him, and his heart stopped.
Because every time you blink, I will electrocute you. The bad thing about this game, really, is the fact that when you're electrocuted, you tend to blink. and then you get electrocuted because you blinked. And then you blink. And you can see where it's going. Basically, you're going to be in some pain while I ask you questions. Damn. All the questions have a double E in them, as in E. Kind of. You get the idea why we've gone for that. Let's just test the equipment. Let's just see. Can I test it? Yeah, that seems to be working. Now, Nicole, I want you to tell me truthfully, while wearing this equipment, did you used to be a stripper? Yeah! Well, I see people are against torture, but as soon as you get someone strapped into a chair, the truth comes out, doesn't it, Nicole? As soon as I start asking the first question, the next time you blink, you're getting electrocuted, okay? Try and hold it together, kids. Okay, first question. What vegetable is used to make borscht and turns your stool purple? Tommy.
Beets.
Correct. What film features a greasy-haired Michael Douglas shouting the capitalist mantra, greed? Tommy.
Wall Street.
Correct. Oh. Nicole, I'm liking the noises you're making. Gotta be honest. This game would be so much harder if someone was, like, blowing smoke in your eyes. Difficult not to blink. Let's see about that then, shall we? A little bit of smoke in the eyes, roller girls. Not right in the eyes, just kind of nearby. Just waft a bit of smoke in that direction. Are you defecating, Tommy? That's another game on Distraction altogether. Okay. What swashbuckling novel by Alexandre Dumas tastes better in candy bar form? Nicole.
Three Musketeers.
What was the nickname of the annoying character played by Dustin Diamond on Saved by the... Nicole.
Screech.
Correct.
It places the lotion in the basket.
Can we just electrocute Tommy randomly? There's a lesson there, isn't there, Tommy? What's the lesson? The lesson is don't talk back. Okay, next question. You both ready? Stop your blinking nonsense. What is the name of the effeminate-sounding golden robot in Star Wars? Nicole.
C-3PO.
Correct. Tommy, you've got two. Nicole, you've got three. That means if you get this right, you've won some amazing prizes. Come on, Tommy. Come on. What was the name of the TV private eye played from 1982 to 1987 by Brosnan? Here's Nicole.
Remington Steele.
That is the correct answer. You've won the prizes. Tommy, we have to say, well, you've been a great contestant on the show.
Thank you.
And you can do an impression of me, which I was loving. Let's just have the impression one more time.
Okay, because I'm a righteous bastard. My name is Jimmy Carr, and I have a show on Comedy Central.
Can we electrocute him again for doing that? Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy!
Poor Tommy, he came close to winning, except for one thing. For most of the last 15, 20 years, he hasn't owned a television. Can you imagine that? He does own a television, but he only uses it to watch DVDs or whatever. He doesn't watch television programming. So when he gets on a quiz show like this, it means he's got absolutely no idea who Screech from Saved by the Bell is. And I never watched Saved by the Bell, but you know that Screech guy was one of the most annoying people on television. I guess he was the precursor to Urkel. And he has no idea what a Beverly Hills 90210 is, so he doesn't know who Shannon Doherty is. And he never watched Remington Steele, so how would he know that? So the poor guy, and oh, did he miss out on any prizes? It seems like a bullshit kind of show, but the winner got a very nice stereo, and the winner got a plasma TV, and the winner got a brand new computer. And poor Tommy, he could have had the TV, the computer, and the nice stereo, but no, he doesn't watch TV, so he doesn't know anything about American culture. You could have got some kid out of Brazil, probably would have known one or two of those answers, and Tommy could have won the TV, the computer, and the stereo. But no, he's a little too smart for TV. Headline, Steamy Burger Ad Lives On Through Parodies. Paris Hilton's TV commercial in which she washed a car in a tiny swimsuit while chomping a big burger has achieved pop culture's second life, parodies. It's been about 10 months since the Carl's Jr. spot first ad with Hilton soaping up a Bentley while chowing down on a $6 burger from Carl's or Hardee's, whatever it is. Since then, three marketeers have created ads parodying the racy commercial. Two are in film promos, Date Movie and Douche Bigelow. Another is an ad for a recruiting firm. Great cultural conversation used to show up in poems and essays, says Robert Thompson, pop culture guru at Syracuse University. Boy, that's a job I'd like to get. The pop culture guru, Bart Kopp. Carl's Jr. executives are loving it. That ad has become as much of a part of popular culture as the Energizer Bunny. He's probably lying there, but I get his point, says Andrew Pudzer, CEO of Carl's Jr. Pudzer says the ads attracted about $25 million in free media coverage. That's more than three times the $8 million that Carl's and Hardee's paid for the airtime. And he says Hardee's, which had a slight dip in sales in 2005, posted sales growth during the 8 weeks the ad ran. And now they're getting the free parodies. We have two regional brands you wouldn't think our ads would become part of modern culture. That is a genius way to do things, don't you think? They created a controversial ad. In every hand job, people like Michael Medved, they had to write columns. Oh, this is so awful. This is so terrible. Oh, God, we can't. The civilization is crumbling because a girl in a bikini washed a car and took a bite out of a burger. Oh, how will we survive as a nation? Meanwhile, Hardee's is raking in the big bucks, $25 million in free ad time. I'll bet they're loving it. Of course, you know, I can't pass up a good Paris Hilton story. Okay, here we go. Time to get serious. Maybe there'll be some expletives in this little section. Presidential scholars say Buchanan's blunder, the worst. Now, not talking about Pat Buchanan. From engaging in sexual relations with an intern to letting the Vietnam War escalate, U.S. presidents have been blamed for some egregious errors. So who had the worst blunder? These idiots. Oh, you can tell this is written by Elizabeth Dunbar of the Whore Associated Press. President James Buchanan for failing to avert the Civil War, according to a survey of presidential historians organized by the University of Louisville's McConnell Center. Well, I guess it goes without saying the McConnell Center in Louisville is the end-all and be-all of everything presidential historical. The survey's top 10 presidential blunders were announced Saturday during a President's Day weekend conference called Presidential Moments. Oh, what a sweet title. We can probably learn just as much or maybe even more by looking at the mistakes rather than looking at why they were great, said political science and McConnell Center Directioner, McConnell Center Director Gary Gregg. Gary Gregg has four G's in his name. Is he being paid by the G? Scholars who participated said Buchanan didn't do enough to oppose efforts by Southern states to secede from the Union before the Civil War. The second worst mistake, oh, okay. Well, now see, I don't know a lot about that because I'm old, but I wasn't there for the Civil War, which was, what, 150 years ago? The second worst mistake, oh, see, we're already past that now. Biggest mistake in history, done, over, what'd it take, about 25 words? The second worst mistake the survey found was Andrew Johnson's decision just after the Civil War to side with the Southern whites and oppose improvements in justice for Southern blacks beyond abolishing slavery. I think I'll agree with that one, just in general. Trying to keep my black brothers down, I don't like it. We continue to pay for Johnson's errors, wrote Michael Les Benedict, an Ohio State University historical professor emeritus. Ooh, he's throwing Latin at us now. He must be good. Lyndon Johnson earned the number three spot by allowing the Vietnam War to intensify, Gregg said. Where does Bill Clinton's Monica Lewinsky scandal rank? Many scholars said it belonged at number 10. Please. The president had a girlfriend, and it was the 10th biggest presidential blunder of all time. The catastrophe here, the big blunder, was the way the poor press went crazy. They went batshit crazy when they heard there was a chance that Bill Clinton might have a girlfriend. As I've said before, they created networks, they created magazines, they created entire wings of media that didn't exist before because they thought the public couldn't get enough of President Clinton's cock. They just went batshit crazy, round the clock, 24/7, 365, more and more and more. Meanwhile, real crimes, which we're about to get to, barely get a mention. You have to leave the United States to find out about real crimes, global crimes, murder, stealing of billions, the killing, accidental or not, of 100,000 innocent people, not to mention the 2,300 soldiers. That's minor. Oh, my God, there was no semen involved. How could it be a crime? How could it be a blunder? So where does Clinton's scandal rank? Number 10, saying that it probably affected Clinton's presidency more than it did the American history and the public. Well, yeah, granted, the scandal affected his presidency, but, you know, it was such a small thing that they just kept piling on and kept piling. I heard him complain about Cheney shooting that friend in the face and then using his government position to cover it up. And they acted like, oh, the press is out of control. Well, gee, did the press spend 2 years on that nonstop? Did they create entire networks to cover Cheney shooting his friend in the face with his four girlfriends out in the woods drinking? Oh, please. The rest of the top 10 blunders. Number 4, Woodrow Wilson's refusal to compromise on the Treaty of Versailles after World War I. Again, I wasn't there for that war either. Like Cheney, I had other priorities, like waiting 60 years to be born. Number 5, Richard Nixon's involvement in the Watergate cover-up. Well, yeah, I think that was an actual scandal because he used the CIA to go after the FBI or vice versa, and that created a constitutional crisis, and it hadn't been for decent Republicans saying, Mr. President, it ain't going to work, dude. You're going to have to step down. Back then, Republicans were decent human beings, we'll say. Number 6, James Madison's failure to keep the United States out of the War of 1812 with Britain. Why are all the big blunders decades or centuries before our time? How am I going to comment on this stuff? What, am I going to go back to school and learn history? Number 7, Thomas Jefferson's Embargo Act of 1807, a self-imposed prohibition on trade with Europe during the Napoleonic Wars. Wasn't alive in 1807. Number 8, I was alive during this one. John F. Kennedy's allowing the Bay of Pigs invasion that led to the Cuban Missile Crisis. Well, is that a Kennedy problem or was that an Eisenhower problem? Kennedy had been in office a few months. I doubt he ran on the campaign promise that we're going to invade Cuba. Please vote for me so I can invade Cuba. That didn't happen. Number 9, Ronald Reagan and the Iran-Contra affair and the effort to sell arms to Iran and use the money to finance an armed anti-communist group in Nicaragua, which is covered up by Lee Hamilton, a Democrat. That probably could be in the top 3 or 4 if it had been investigated, but no, they looked at it. If you go to consortiumnews.com and punch in Lee Hamilton or Iran-Contra, any of that, what they'll tell you is that Lee Hamilton went to the Republicans and said, is there anything here? Should we be looking at this? And they said, no, Lee, what are you, crazy? Get out of here, pulling our leg like that. Why would you even think such a thing? And Lee Hamilton said, well, okay then, discussion's over. We'll shut the investigation down. No crime here, no reason to look for anything here. So that was the top 10, and then 10 being Clinton. But funny, we got to the top 10 and no mention of the crazy monkey invading Iraq for no damn reason. He's stealing $100 million a day. He's killed 2,310 brave soldiers. That doesn't rank in the top 10. Oh, no, not at all. Clinton's right up there. Oh, Clinton, oh, my God, sex with an intern. That's a big story. But Bush going crazy, Bush lying us into war, the whole world hating us, that's not a problem. He's godly Bush. What problem could there be with that? You don't know no real shit, nigga. It's the original type of hell shit, nigga. We numb niggas, whole real shit, nigga. You ain't on no real shit, nigga. You don't know no real shit, nigga. He's got more balls than all the Democrats in Congress combined. It's Bart Cop Radio.